Good evening, everyone, and especially newcomers and returning members. My name is Dan B. from Michigan's UP, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater and a member of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm abstinent, and it's a miracle. My story might well get the particulars out of the way here. My abstinence is 3 measured meals a day with nothing in between except black coffee, diet soda, water, and most of all, life. My highest weight, I can't tell you for sure how high I got on my weight, but it was well over 300 pounds. Today my weight is around 160 pounds. I'm 5'11", and I'm in a thin, normal sized body. To avoid any ego feeding propositions, any success that I'm having staying abstinent today is due to a higher power in my life. And so any success that I am having is my higher power success and not mine. I first came into OA, my very first meeting was on January 1st, 1986, 38 years ago. But leading up to that, I had some problems. I believe I was a compulsive overeater from birth. I believe I was born a compulsive overeater. I think it was in my DNA. All of my memories are around food. I came from a pretty normal family. I had a really nice mom and dad, and I had 3 sisters. I didn't have any brothers. And I was a baby boomer. One of the things I was thinking about before I got on the phone tonight was when I was around 11 years old, I remember my dad, he could see that I was eating a little bit too much, and I was getting kind of plump. And I remember him telling me one day, he said, if you ever want to know how to eat, just watch the dog, how it eats. The dog just eats when it's hungry. And I don't know why I remembered that, but I thought I'd bring it up. It was just like my dad to tell me something like that. And he was trying to be helpful, like many other people were over the years. But that didn't help me. And I felt disappointed, and was always filled with insecurity. I remember going shopping for clothes and at places like Sears Roebuck or Montgomery Ward's, and when I started putting on weight around, being a preteen, I'd have to go in and buy clothes out of the Husky Boys section they had in Sears. And that was the beginning of feeling different from other people. I felt branded. I didn't feel good about that, but that was the way they advertised and sold stuff, and that was the pants that I bought. By the time I started getting up into my teens and even in the 20s, the food kind of took a back seat for a while. And because I started drinking. And getting into a few other things, which everybody else seemed like they were doing around that time. And so the weight kind of took a backseat. But I first came into the 12-step rooms in the mid-1970s. I believe I was close to a teenager then. And that was my first... That was the first time I came into meetings, and it was through AA. Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I tried that for a while, and eventually, sometime in the 1980s, in the mid 1980s, the food took over again, and with a vengeance. I've stolen food. I've eaten other people's food. I've eaten food off of tables in restaurants where people have left their food laying on the table, and I've walked by and picked up food and eaten it. In the mid-1980s, I was on an Amtrak train. I was taking a wonderful trip, and when I had to walk from one end of the train to the other, I had to walk through this dining car. And I remember one day, as I was walking through, there was these people left their food, you know, just laying out on the table. And I think I grabbed a food item and shoved it in my mouth. And there was a waiter behind me, and he said, "You know, if you want something, sir, we can cook it up for you." I can't tell you how shameful I felt. I felt like crawling under a rock. I felt terrible. Eventually, everything kind of culminated to a point where one night I went to a party at the Eleanor Club that was near us, and I ate all the food there, and then I went back home to finish a job. And that's what compulsive overeating was. It was a job. It just took over my whole life. And I went home that night, and I was eating while I was in bed. And it was the next morning that I realized that I'd almost choked to death. And I did something I never had done before. I actually got down on my knees, and I was in front of the refrigerator. I got down on my knees, and I got quiet, and I said, "God, please help me, please." And as I was kneeling there, a thought came into my head. It pushed out every other single thought, and the thought was, "Go to an AA meeting." You see, because that's the only thing I knew at the time was Alcoholics Anonymous, and that made sense to me. I thought, you know, I can go to an AA meeting. My friends will be there. I can have some coffee. So I quickly got dressed, went down to the Eleanor Club. I walked down the steps to the basement. And everything was all set up and everything. But there wasn't anybody there in this big room. And I was like, wow. You know, and but as I was looking around the room, there was a door that was open on the other side of the room. And as many times as I'd been to that particular meeting, that door had never been opened, and there was a light on it. This got my attention. Something was telling me to go towards that room, and I went towards it, and I walked into that room. And as I was walking into the room, there were some tables off to the right side of the room. There were some windows there, and there was a lady sitting at the table with her purse next to her and a stack of papers. And I didn't say anything to her. I didn't even look at her. I just walked right past her. And as I walked past her, she said, "Away." Now, I got to tell you, when I had pretty low self-esteem. And when she said, "Away," for some reason, I heard that wrong. I thought she was telling me to go away. I thought, I'm thinking to myself, you know, quietly, I wonder why she's saying that. So finally, I turned around and I said, "What did you say?" And she said, "Away." And I said, "What's away?" And she said, "We're going to be having a meeting in here for people that are having a problem with food." Really? This was my first introduction to prayer. She smiled, and I said, "Can I join? Can I group? Can I sit down?" She said, "Sure." The room started filling up with smiling, happy people in thin, normal-sized bodies. At that particular time, I believe in the area where I started, the recovery rate was, I believe, around 60. It may even been as high as 70%. And I I say that because when I went to like the newcomers meeting on Monday nights when we had well over 100 people, at least 60 or to 70% of the people there were thin, in thin, normal-sized bodies. This was very compelling. I realized that these people were doing something different. And I started coming to meetings and listening and learning. At one particular meeting, when I was getting ready to leave, a woman came up to me and she said, "Have you gotten a food plan yet?" And I said, "No." And inside to myself, I was thinking, you know, I'm not that bad yet. You know, I can handle this. Wrong. I couldn't. Eventually, I didn't stop going to meetings, though. I kept going to meetings. And one night in particular, it was around that time, I'd do really good during the daytime. But at nighttime, I would start eating, and I couldn't stop. I was a nighttime binger. And anyhow, back to the meeting. I heard this guy give a talk, and I thought I just got to go up and talk to this guy after the meeting. And so I walked up to him after the meeting and said hi and introduced myself. And I said, "Can you help me?" I had to really level my pride to do that. You know how us guys are. I said, "Can you help me? And can you show me what to eat? Can you tell me what to do?" And he said, "Sure." He said, you know, he smiled. He said, he grabbed like an envelope or something, and he started writing a little food plan down on it, and just writing some stuff down. And he put his phone number down. And he said, "Give me a call tomorrow morning." And that was the beginning right there for me. That was the beginning of my abstinence. It took me a little while to get to that, though, because I'm pretty bullheaded and I'm a stubborn person. Those are some of my character defects. And I thought I could do it on my own. And today I know I can't do it on my own. I have a higher power today. I have a sponsor. I have the 12 steps. And I try to keep my program simple today. I've been abstinent now since September 23rd of 2015. I've had a few slips and slides over the years, but I have been abstinent since then. And I've learned a lot about the program. I'm still learning. And the most important thing I've learned over all the years in OA is what I've learned after I knew it all. And I knew it all for many, many years, and that kept me from any kind of recovery. It kept me from reaching out and asking people for help. One of the things that I try to do today is I try to keep myself reachable and teachable. And one of the ways that I try to do that is I try to look for opportunities to just ask for help from other people, not in a salacious way. When I need help, today, my son visited me and I had a set of wireless headphones and I was trying to make him, pair them up with, my iPhone. So I asked my son if he could help me. I was having some difficulty. I said, "Can you help me?" And, it's interesting when you ask people if they can help you, they're actually, most of the time, my experience is they're delighted. And, remembering to ask for help and also asking for help when I came in was a big step for me. And that was my turning point. Until I asked for help, nothing, absolutely nothing happened. And in asking for help, I had to not only want help and need help, but I had to be willing to accept help. And I really kind of want to accentuate that. I had to be willing to accept the help that was available. And fortunately, there was a lot of help there. I came in contact with some people.
5-minute reminder.
Oh, thank you. for your service. So where am I at today? Where I'm at today is I am abstinent, but I'm just as close to that next bite as anyone else here. OA is always gently reminding me that when I speak, when I'm asked to speak at a meeting like this, or even speaking at a regular meeting or whatever, to speak from a position of weakness and not strength, because it's weakness that binds us to each other and to a higher power and helps us to do what we could never do before. And that's my story right there in a nutshell. One of the things that I've been thinking about lately is that OA is not group therapy. Before I got into OA, I was in a group called Weight Watchers. And I want to be careful how I say this. You know, everybody's heard of Weight Watchers, and I'll bet you there's a lot of people on the line that have heard of Elvis. So, you know, we're in good company here. But I was in Weight Watchers, and Weight Watchers did not work for me. It did not work for me because I'm a compulsive overeater, and when I tried to eat some of their frozen carbohydrates and stuff like that, I wound up driving up to the supermarket at 2 o'clock in the morning and standing in the checkout lane with boxes and bags and looking at what I was cradling in my arms and thinking to myself, is this going to be enough? Is this going to do it? And the fact is that there never was enough. There never was. I've been relieved of the food obsession. I have a daily reprieve, and by just doing a few simple things, I am rescued. I've been rescued from a seemingly hopeless condition of body and mind. I'm going to close out with a little some little lyrics here, and it's called Make Someone Happy. It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart to heart you sing to. One smile that cheers you. One face that lights up when it's near you. One girl you're everything to. Fame, if you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life to cling to? Well, folks, love is the answer. Someone to love is the answer. Once you found her, build your world around her. Make someone happy. Make just someone happy. And you'll be happy, too. You will be happy, too. My name is Dan B. from Michigan. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. This program is a miracle. And just making the smallest effort, having faith, and just showing up, you'd be surprised what can happen. It's helped me, and I wish the same for you, too. My phone number is, I'm on the East Coast, and my phone number is 906-231-0559, 206-231-0559. You can call or text anytime. And if you need some help, I can help you get started. It's a very simple program, and it's a simple program for complicated people like me. So thanks for letting me share tonight. I hope you all have a wonderful night, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.